Hello and welcome to another episode of the Prop Swap Podcast. We are your hosts, Ian Epstein.
And Luke Pregandy.
And we are also the founders of Prop Swap, the first marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We've got another great episode for you. Of course, we are going to break down the Final Four, talk about the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games. And so I thought we would start with, I'm calling this segment, Luke, You Cannot Stop the Huskies. The Huskies are a wagon, one that we probably haven't seen since 2008, 2009, when the Florida Gators were the last team to repeat as college basketball champions. Of course, Prop Swap was not a thing back then, so this is the first time we've seen this type of run in March Madness two years in a row. But just a couple quick stats. The closest game, meaning the smallest margin of victory UConn has had over the past two tournaments, was a 13-point win over Miami last year in the Final Four. That was the smallest margin, 13 points. They have beaten every team by double digits. UConn currently an 11.5-point favorite over Alabama. Purdue is a 9.5-point favorite over NC State. There has never been a Final Four with two double digit spreads. And so, if that Purdue spread stays 9.5 or lower, that will still be true. But we are teetering on history here with two double digit spreads, which has never been done. So, before we get into some of the sales from the weekend, what are your thoughts right now on the Final Four?
I like, in terms of picking an upset, I like Bama more than I like NC State, which I recognize, UConn is better than Purdue, but I think Bama is much better than NC State. Maybe that's just me being blind like everyone else basically has been and thinking NC State can't be this good, and they just continue to prove me wrong. But I just feel like Bama offensively has a little bit more firepower, and they knocked off a really, really good North Carolina team. And they played good defense against RJ Davis. Maybe it was the rims. Of course, Our Arizona's star player Caleb Love was 0-9 in the same stadium that RJ Davis went, 0-9 from three in. But I think Bama's a little bit better than NC State, so I would lean that they'd be able to pull off an upset, even though UConn scored 30 straight points on Saturday against Illinois. So I've never seen that in my life, and I don't know we'll ever see that again in a Elite Eight game.
Yeah, 30-0 run from UConn. Just unbelievable. I would agree with you. Like they said the same thing about Illinois' offense, but if a higher scoring game means more variance, right? So if I know that Alabama is going to put up 80 points in that game, or 75 or whatever, which is something that's very doable for that team. I mean, they run up and down, they score a ton of points. If you can score points, then you have a better chance of winning. Obviously, that kind of, whatever, that's not breaking news. Like, the team that scores more is going to win the game. But the higher the score of the game, the higher the variance. And so I would agree with you that like that would bode well for a potential upset. So I agree with you that of these two Final Four games, I think actually, Alabama has a better chance of upsetting UConn than NC State does of Purdue. I was going to bring this up later, but seeing as how we're talking about Alabama, I wrote this down. You got a feel for Alabama futures bettors, because on Saturday morning, heading into the Elite Eight, after upsetting North Carolina, they were 16-1 to win the title. After beating Clemson and going to the Final Four, you can now find Alabama at 18-1 to win the title. Which is something that, you just never see a team, win basically a quarterfinal game and their futures odds go down. We have a customer, this is just one example, but we have a customer with a $500 50-1 Alabama title bet from November, And it's still only worth $1,500 right now. In like most other years, that ticket would be worth at least $4,000 right now with, you know, them sitting in the Final Four, right? Like 5-1, 6-1. And so I kind of feel for Alabama futures bettors because, you know, they're a good team. You made a great pick, and the value just is not increasing like we see it in other years.
Yeah. I love Nate Oates. I think he's done such a good job there. You lose Brandon Miller, your second overall draft pick last year, and then you reload and go right back to the Final Four. I mean, he's done such a good job, and to do it in a conference where you know everyone thought Auburn was a sexy pick, and there was a lot of steam on Kentucky too coming into the tournament. I thought Kentucky was a really trendy pick. A bunch of different sports analysts were picking them, so for Bama to do that in the SEC, I thought was super impressive. But I think clearly that's just an indication of how we might have been underestimating how good UConn was, and they just like totally imposed their will on that Illinois team.
Yeah, and I do think it's funny that bookmakers are basically finally being like, you know what, we are jacking the spread up. Like, they've won every game by double digits, and so therefore we are making the spread double digits. Like, you're gonna, you know, to have to lay 11.5 in a Final Four game isn't crazy, and you know, again, it would be tough to go against UConn, but I do think 11.5 is a lot for a team like Alabama who can score the ball. And yeah, I think that number being double digits is just the bookmaker saying, look, like we are sick of losing money on UConn. Yeah. But just because UConn is such a big favorite does not mean that the action was low over the weekend on PropSwap. A ton of different UConn sales, Purdue sales, but this one stuck out to me. Back in January, a customer placed a $1,000 bet on UConn to win the title at 12-1 odds. After their beatdown of San Diego State on Thursday, the customer listed it for sale for $5,600, odds of +132. At the time, it was a little higher than market value, but on Friday night, after Houston star player Jamal Shedd went down with an injury and it became apparent that Duke could win that game, a buyer came in and scooped it up for that $5,600 +132. When the dust settled on Friday night, you know, Duke had eliminated the one seed Houston. UConn was -105 odds. So that buyer basically got a $1,058 discount to the market, purchasing that UConn ticket. And again, we've talked about this many times over the years. I'm not sure if we talked about it necessarily this tournament, but a great way to get in on futures, whether on PropSwap or at the book, is, you know, you think, you know, okay, Houston's losing, let me look towards, you know, NC State at that point, because NC State had lost to Marquette. But you really got to be looking around at like the entire bracket, right? Like, what does Houston losing mean for the other favorites, right? What does it mean for Purdue? What does it mean for UConn? And so, you know, again, your first thought is to try and, you know, pick off teams in that region, but really it affects everything to have a one seed go down like that. And so it was a great purchase by that buyer to come in and get +132, even though UConn had, you know, solidified their spot in the Elite Eight. Like I said, you know, an hour later, hour and a half later, UConn was sitting at -105. So, you know, but again, and still a great sale to turn a $4,600 profit for the seller. And yeah, like I said, the buyer got basically $1,000 discount to the market.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, only a few games left, but completely agree with that strategy. You know, in this situation, Purdue and NC State play first. So, if you had, if you want to sell a Purdue, say Purdue wins and you've got a Purdue future and Bama's winning, they're beating UConn, you could sell that Purdue ticket for more than if UConn comes back and wins, because obviously UConn will be favored against Purdue. So just strategies to think about during the games if you have one of these four, or you're about to buy one of those four futures going into the Monday Night's National Championship. Just a couple different things to bear in mind while these games are ongoing.
Yeah. And it's been fun for me to be watching the futures odds move with the book. Another little piece of advice is what I have found from observing is MGM may be slow to move their numbers, or they just like to hang really good numbers. But, you know, a couple examples, I was able to grab Alabama at 40-1 during their game against Clemson, right? I mean, that game was close and it came down the wire, but Alabama, you know, was holding on to the lead. Look, and then finally, it would have taken a shocker for them to have blown that lead. And I was able to grab 40-1 Alabama. And then they were back down to 20-1, you know, a couple minutes later. During the Purdue Tennessee game, I was able to grab Purdue at 5-1 in the second half. Again, Tennessee came back. They were making the game close towards the end there, but I mean, yeah. 15 minutes later, they were back down, you know, Purdue was down to plus 250. So specifically talking about MGM, I was able to grab some good numbers. And so maybe something to bear in mind for this, you know, the Final Four weekend or tournaments ahead.
Yeah, my guess would be stale numbers, but hey, however you get down,
good for you, gambler. Yeah, and I'm sure MGM's taking a look. If UConn wins, then, you know, these bets are losers, right? But as we all know that, you know, there's markets out there to flip an Alabama 40-1 ticket or a Purdue 5-1 ticket. So I'm just getting in at good numbers where I know that there's a resale, there's a margin there to flip them. Mm-hmm. But the story of the Final Four is NC State. Yet again, another big long shot makes the Final Four, joining the ranks of UCLA a couple years ago, Loyola, Wichita State, all huge, long shots to reach the Final Four. Specifically, NC State was 55-1 to win the region before the tournament started. And we had quite a few customers who got in on NC State because, again, as we've talked about, NC State went on a run. They won the ACC tournament. And so they were not necessarily – so they were, a popular sleeper team because people had just watched them beat Duke, beat Virginia, beat North Carolina in the ACC tournament. So, that was a great team over the weekend for buyers and sellers on PropSwap. Here's one sale in particular. A customer who bet $15 at 55-1 odds on NC State to win the South region before the tournament sold their bet for $50 after NC State's round one win. So just one game, a customer flipped a $15 ticket for $50. And then the customer who purchased it for $50 resold it before their game against Duke for $247. So owner number one made 2.3x on their money. Owner number two made almost 4x on their money. And then owner number three made 2.4. He got plus 240 odds on that purchase prior to the Duke game. So he made 2.4x on their money. So three different owners of the ticket, and each one made money along the way. And then obviously it cashed at 55-1 odds. NC State, again, another example where seeing some, gigantic 200-1, 250-1. I think there's a story of a 500-1 NC State championship ticket sitting out there. But again, when you've got a team like UConn sitting out there, still quite long odds, they'd have to, the hypothetical spread between UConn and NC State right now on FanDuel is 15.5. That's what they're making the number if they were to play each other in the championship. So still a mountain to overcome for NC State, which maybe is a good lesson too for people out there that, like, if you like a team like NC State, throw a future on them for the championship, but also throw a future on them to win the region, right? Because you can be in a situation mm-hmm. here where you win the region, but you have two kind of Goliaths in your way in the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about NC State and how long their odds were. And, like, I think just because they play in the shadow of North Carolina and Duke, obviously both in the same state. I think they're just, they're not as much of a public team. Like, you know, you could argue Wake Forest back in their heyday with Chris Paul. But, you know, imagine if this team was like a California, like UCLA. That was such a perfect example of like a team that plays in the Pac-12, you know, overshadowed by Arizona in that respective season, but like massive alumni base and like wealthy alumni base, like popular teams are in California. Like, I've just been thinking about, imagine that if an 11 seed was a UCLA or a Texas or a Big Ten team, like a Michigan State team, there would just be seven times the amount of bets, I would imagine, on a team like that. So it's funny how the luck of the draw works out. As long as there's some long shot that PropSwap can be utilized for, we're happy, as opposed to if it was like, you know, UConn, Purdue, and Houston, right? That would have been kind of tough for PropSwap. So happy that at least one of the teams was able to be a long shot. And like you just laid out, a perfect example of seller one to seller two to seller three, and everyone makes money.
Yeah. Or like, you know, it's funny. I mean, that second Loyola run, the ended up losing in the Sweet 16. But like, again, I keep going back to this. That year, a couple years ago, where Loyola beat Illinois in the second round, mm-hmm. and you know, we had some massive tickets on Loyola. That's because like a couple years earlier, people saw Loyola get to the Final Four, right?
Yeah.
And so there was this history of them doing this, making this run before, and I think that led to having a ton of, you know, long shot tickets on them. So I think, yeah, to your point,
the
blue blood
gene thing.
Say again,
the sister gene thing that went viral and that got a ton of interest around it. There was multiple external factors that got attention on Loyola.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so between your point of like being the shadow of the other North Carolina schools, not being a blue blood, and the fact that, you know, we haven't seen this team, you know, make a run. I mean, the story about the coach was basically on the hot seat, right? Like the coach was about to lose his job. And he has a clause in his contract that says, if you win the ACC tournament, like automatic 2-year extension. and each win that they've gotten in the tournament, has added money to his contract. So, kudos to that agent, whoever negotiated that deal. But just again, another, you know, typically speaking, if you have a team where the coach is about to get fired, like that's probably an indication of like the fact that bettors out there were not looking at this team during the regular season, and you know, accumulating futures at long odds like Loyola or UCLA from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then just the other team we haven't really touched on is Purdue. You know, we've talked about Purdue on this podcast. You know, obviously the beat Arizona, you know, earlier in the season. You were in attendance for that game. You know, they shot the lights out from three. And so, you know, it's one of those things where some people are kind of dismissive. As I said last week, watching Zach Edey get officiated is kind of a frustrating watch, but yeah. Look, he's effective and they win games. And I do think that they are the team that's kind of getting overlooked here a little bit. And they are a lot better than people either A, give them credit for, or they're willing to admit, because they just say, you know, UConn is going to win the whole thing. But I do think Purdue here is getting a little overlooked. And, you know, we'll talk about this in sticker swap a little bit, but I do think that if it's a UConn Purdue championship, that will finally be like UConn's first best, you know, real best test in the last two tournaments.
Totally. Yeah. No, I think Purdue has in this tournament, and they are playing their best basketball, in my opinion, of the entire season right now. Like they have improved dramatically since, you know, I went out and saw them in December. Zach Edey has become, he's got like a softer touch, and you know, I went to that game and then probably watched six others throughout the season, six other Purdue games. I think his touch, like he's getting so many rolls, which is incredible to see. Like that is like the mark of like an improvement as a big man, where you're not just like hacking it up and you're getting fouled. Like, he has touch now and he's getting roles that he wasn't getting, I think, in December. Free throw shooting has improved. I believe he obviously had a couple, like a bad air ball in that, in the game on Saturday, but, or I guess Sunday. But, you know, I think they've improved. Yeah, I'm gonna eat some crow if Purdue wins a national championship. But I think I agree that they can beat UConn. They can. I you know, we're down to the final four. I've watched them all tournament. They are able to beat UConn. That like Klingon kid on UConn, they're UConn's big man. I think it's gonna be up for a massive challenge, obviously, against Zach Edey. So that will be a heavyweight bout if they both win on Monday night. That will be an excellent basketball game.
Yeah. And you know, it'll be interesting to see. So obviously it's been talked about a bunch, right? Purdue lost as a one seed to a 16 seed last year. Mm-hmm. This has kind of been their revenge tour. And so it'll be interesting to see if them making the final four in their minds is like kind of like mission accomplished, right? Like, yeah. We proved the doubters wrong. You know, Purdue has not been to the final four, I don't think, since like 1980. Right. So, I mean, yeah, right. Obviously none of these people were alive, you know, the last time, Purdue made to the final four. And so it'll be interesting to see if, you know, the kind of who's happy to be there type of thing, which mm-hmm. I think could also be said for NC State and Alabama, as well, but, it will be interesting to see if Purdue comes in there, with kind of the mindset of it, look, like, job's not done. Like, we thought we would win the championship last year. You know, we got embarrassed in the first round. And you know, we still have two more wins, to get here. So
yeah, I don't think Bama's never been in the final four. So
yeah.
Agreed that it'll be interesting to see if Nate Oates says his team upset and like, nah, we can beat this UConn team, or it's just, hey, we got to Phoenix. We're happy. We've never done this before. A new high for the program.
Yeah. And then I guess one other thing to consider, and I this kind of comes to mind right now, and I haven't done the research, although I'm sure I will as we come up to it, but I'm always, you know, playing in football stadiums is a whole different beast. And it's funny, there was a period of time there where they made some of the regionals in football stadiums, which I thought was kind of whack. Like, I'll never forget there was a South regional in like the Texans football stadium. And I remember Duke was in it. And like, it was bricks galore because the depth perception is so much different. When you've got all these fans, sitting behind the basket mm-hmm. versus a traditional basketball arena. And so, to your point of Alabama's never been in the Final Four, you know, I would be curious to see if any of these teams besides UConn has even played in a football stadium like this.
Yeah.
So that is, I mean, so maybe it doesn't have an indication on who wins, but I would maybe look towards the unders, or at least the first half unders on some of these games, because it's a different beast playing in a giant stadium like that.
Completely agree. I think first half unders are extremely intriguing, and do it now before, you know, not many people are focusing on the game. It's not until Saturday, of course. We've got a few days, so yeah, hop in that now. I totally agree with that. I think there's going to be a ton of bricks. Now, and if I had to pick one, because UConn did this last year, now some of those guys have graduated. It's a year ago, but I would think UConn might be a little bit more ready to play in a big stadium, of course, doing it last year. So we'll maybe NC State first half, NC State Purdue first half under is the move. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's one additional stake or swap pick, but I think it's that time of the show to get into stake or swap. First up, we are going to be talking about some exact outcomes. These are props that some sports books are offering, and I'm sure more will as the games get closer. But basically, you can pick the different combinations of who is going to beat who in the championship. And so right now I want to talk about UConn to beat Purdue, currently -110 at DraftKings. So if you're not familiar with the odds, UConn currently is a -200 favorite overall to win the championship. And so I'm staking UConn to beat Purdue at minus 110. Look, this is not necessarily a sexy pick, but if, you know, you just assume that UConn is going to win, right? Who knows if they're going to cover or not, but UConn wins, Purdue wins. UConn will probably be a minus 230 favorite or more. And it's kind of dependent on the final scores of these games. So if UConn ends up covering that spread, let me back up here for a second. Right now on FanDuel, they have hypothetical spreads, and UConn is a 5.5 point favorite over Purdue, right? So that equates to around like a minus 230 money line. But if, let's say, UConn destroys Alabama by 20, you know, then that spread's going to go up. Like, that very rarely are these spreads, I feel like, end up being the number. And look, it could go down if UConn, you know, wins a nail biter, but I do think that 5.5 point spread could be larger come Monday night for the championship. And so to get minus one, so if we say it's a lock pretty much for UConn and Purdue to win, to be sitting there with a UConn minus 110 ticket when they're a minus 230 or minus 250 favorite, that's going to be a great opportunity to either resell or just feel like you're holding a great value ticket. So for those reasons, I am staking the exact outcome of UConn to beat Purdue in the championship minus 110.
Completely agree. I've been off Purdue the whole year, so who am I to now all of a sudden be back on Purdue? I'll stick with UConn beating Purdue, and they both win the game. Like I discussed, I think the bear case scenario here is Purdue loses, right? So I think Purdue wins that game. I think Bama is the better team than NC State is, given both those two underdogs, but I still think UConn wins. So to me, I would be betting. I might take 11 and a hook on Bama. So I agree. I would stake that as well. I think minus 110 for a team that just has looked invincible. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The bear case is that, obviously NC State wins, or, you know, the number comes out lower than 5.5. But again, if it's UConn Purdue, UConn will definitely not be A, an underdog, or B, anything. You know, they will be that money line is going to start with a 2 no matter what. So I don't care if, you know, UConn wins on a buzzer beater, that number is going to be start with a 2 on the money line. So you'll definitely you'll have value there. And then also maybe a nice little kind of hedge slash a way to middle it is also bet Alabama plus 11.5, right? Because, you know, if that hypothetical number is going to be lower than 5.5, it's going to be because Alabama, you know, kept the game close. So moving on, going to talk a little same game parlay action, something that we've never done here on this podcast. Right now, for the NC State Purdue game, you can get NC State money line and DJ Burns, definitely the player of the tournament, the story of the tournament, DJ Burns, over 14.5 points. That is currently plus 467. Luke, I will start with you first. Are you staking or swapping the NC State money line with DJ Burns over 14.5 points?
Yeah, I'm going to stake this. And it's simply, I'm trying to provide a way for you to amplify your NC State money line return. I think there's a correlation between DJ Burns scoring well and NC State winning. So, you know, I would argue it's around 60%. If DJ Burns scores above 15, I would say there's at least a 60 to 70% chance of NC State covering that money line. So it's providing another additional way to juice that money line return. One other bet I looked at is DJ Horn, also on NC State. He's the guard. He was at ASU before this. I think he was at Southern Illinois. I was reading before that. He's great. Super talented shooter. To me, he's the heart of the offense. Obviously, DJ Burns gets a ton of putbacks. But just thinking of other ways to juice your NC State money line return, that'd be one.
So I'm going to swap this for a couple reasons. One, Certain states, like the state I live in, it is against the law to bet on college props. So I'm going to swap it because I can't even bet on this. You literally can't even bet on like the Heisman Trophy in Colorado. Look, I think the intention is well. I just don't think that it has the effect that people think it may have, you know, in terms of what it's trying to accomplish. But listen, that's a subject for another podcast. But his average on the season, DJ Burns, is about 13. So that 14.5 number is higher than his average. And while he scored 30 against Duke, he only scored like 4 against Marquette. Like 4 or 6. And, you know, he is going to be going up against Zach Edey, who not exactly a sieve when it comes, you know, on defense. And just in general, again, talking about, but I do totally agree with you that there's ways to find good correlations between a team winning a covering and the players on that team doing well. I'm constantly looking at this for NBA. But I like to look at players that are not like so public. And right now, DJ Burns, sure, like is the story, right? So anyone who has watched college basketball these last, you know, week or two, if they know one player from this tournament, it's going to be DJ Burns, right? And so that's the type of player prop that the general public is going to bet over. And so I like, you know, I think what you mentioned, DJ Horn, over 15.5 and the NC State money line, that's plus 447. Like, that's a player who probably their over under is going to be, you know, lower, you know, in comparison to the average than a guy like DJ Burns who's so public. So and then obviously, you know, as I talked about earlier, I like Purdue to win that game. So, but I think overall your point is well taken, that you can be, you know, whether, you know, maybe it's Purdue and one of their, you know, guards, you know, over points. Mm-hmm. Same thing with UConn. If you do live in a state, if you do live in a state, not Colorado, where you can make these things, then yeah, I think that's definitely something you can look forward to juice the payouts on Saturday. But that will do it. Definitely, you know, whether or not these are blowouts or not, there's definitely ways to make money on prop swap, getting in early, getting out during the game. So I'm sure it'll be exciting no matter what. And then, of course, I'm sure we'll have a great title game on Monday. But that will do it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please make sure to subscribe, leave us a rating, and we will talk to you next week.